Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans. But before we go into the sermon, let me remind you about our website at shiarjashub.org. Make it your site for serious Bible study and access to hundreds of free Bible study radio programs and videos. That's shiarjashub.org. Here is Pastor Greg Scalzo.
Today we pick up our study in the book of Romans, the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Romans. And before we go to where we left off last time, I'd like to open with a reading from a sermon of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 17. And we'll read from verses 24 to 27. This is from the sermon that Paul delivered in Athens. And I referenced it when we looked at Paul's message to Agrippa. But we want to look a little bit more in depth at it now. So Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. Paul tells them, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So you see in verse 24, God as creator, creator of the world and everything in it, heaven and earth, not confined by temples made with men's hands. Verse 25, he is the giver of life. He gives breath to all things. He is the sustainer of life. Verse 26, and from one blood he's made every nation of men and has, and here's what we want to look at in verse 26, and has determined, he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. He is the predestinator. He has a pre-appointed time. He has a pre-appointed place. The word there, protasso, prearranged, before appointed, to appoint before. He has pre-appointed a time and a place for every individual. And we have the predestination here, how God has set everything in control from the very beginning. He knows the best place to put us. He knows the best time to put us in. And then verse 27, you see the purpose of predestination. Verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And again, you have the free will of the individual that we should seek him. The purpose of predestination, pre-appointment, is not to take away our free will, but in knowledge of our free will, he places us at the right time, he places us at the right place, that we might have the opportunity to seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Okay, Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. And so far we've read Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born, or literally who came, of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, or according to his Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And we talked last time about the simplicity of the statement, according to the flesh, according to the Spirit of holiness, Son of man, Son of God. We saw all the different teachings and how what a difficult area this was in the early church, trying to define the nature of Jesus Christ, and something that's complicated yet very simple was taken, and all that Greek philosopher thought comes into the church and all these theological systems come out of it devoid of the Spirit. When Paul here makes a very clear statement, according to the flesh of the seed of David, according to the Spirit of holiness, declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And what we want to look at today is that expression, according to the flesh, sarka, which comes a form of the Greek word sarx, which means flesh. Okay, and you read that word flesh over and over in the New Testament. What does it mean? What does he mean by sarx, the flesh? The flesh in the New Testament refers to, on a very basic level, the physical substance from which men are made, the substance of the body. The primary use means the meaty or fleshy parts of the body. And men share this aspect of how we're made with animals, which also are said to be fleshy, although Paul is very careful to say it's not the same flesh, right? 1 Corinthians 15:39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There's a difference. But we all have this meat, this substance to us. And that word flesh, which initially in the primary use refers to the fleshy parts, comes to mean the entire body, the whole physical human body taken as a whole. And the flesh is man's contact with the world at large. And it's the way we are in contact with other human beings. I'm speaking this morning. I have vocal cords, I hope. Part of my flesh, you have ears, part of your flesh, you hear the sound pulses from the airwaves, part of the material universe reaching your ears. The impulses go to our brain. We have physical bodies, we have flesh, and that's how we're in contact with each other. The word flesh also is used to describe the physical substance which one inherits from his parents, or what unites us with others of like descent, that which is passed down in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. The writer says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? God is the Father of our spirit. He gives birth, the Holy Spirit gives birth to our spirit. But when it says we have had human fathers, you know what it is literally in the Greek? Fathers of the flesh. Sarx. Fathers of the flesh. Our human fathers are fathers of the flesh. We inherit things in the flesh from previous generations. So that's the primary meaning of that word. Then taking the idea of physical substance one step farther, socks is used to define humanity as such, a common designation for man, a common designation for mankind. The expression is used in the New Testament, flesh and blood, Galatians 1, 15 and 16. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with, what does Paul say? Flesh and blood. So flesh begins to become a designation for mankind, for human beings, since our being as we visually see it is seen as corporeal, as physical, as a material being, that word comes to mean human beings, humankind, that corporeal aspect of us, as opposed to the spiritual aspect. While we are alive, we are described as being in the flesh. But after we're gone, we no longer have fleshly existence. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul writes, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you," to remain in these bodies, to remain in this body. So none of what we've just said, none of this implies by necessity inherent weakness or sinfulness. We have fleshly bodies. We're in the flesh. But the term flesh does come to mean, as you read it in the New Testament, both a tendency to sin, a tendency to weakness, and then B, man's baser sinful nature, the impulse to sin, or the seat of sin. And it has a full negative connotation when used in that way, how the flesh is sinful, a lost condition. Let me give you an example of the first one.
Serious times require serious Bible study, and we appreciate any donation you make to Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle to keep this important scripture teaching ministry on WFIF. And to this cause, we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer, 30 Bible Lessons to Effective Prayer That Will Change Your Life. This is offer 102, and you will find a link to a secure page where you can make the donation on the church website. Again, it is offer 102, and the website is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling. Please join us next time for Shiar Jashub.